Now, if you have your Bibles, you want to get open to the book of Romans. We'll be there quite a bit tonight. In our last look, last week, Romans chapter 1 and 2, we just kind of touched on that a little bit. And it seemed the dividing line as you look at or read Romans 1 and 2, you read it through, you follow the logical progression. Thankfulness is part of what Paul is talking about. He's not just talking about those evil deeds of unsaved people. It's woven through with the lack of thankfulness. In fact, that's mentioned more than once just in chapter 1. And the dividing line between glory and dishonor seems to be whether or not a person gives thanks. Man, have you ever considered thankfulness being that serious of an issue? It divides between glory and dishonor. In fact, idolatry comes from thanklessness toward God, our Creator, as we look at chapter 1 there. The benefits we considered last week, honor, joy, health, those are produced when we are thankful to the Creator, okay? The provider of what? All things. God provides all things. And in contrast to that, thanklessness to the Creator who provided all things unravels the paradise that He created. It tells us there in chapter 1 that they knew God, but they chose to ignore Him and they set up their own gods, okay, which ultimately was themselves, their self, what they wanted, what pleased them, their flesh. So thanklessness just unraveled what God had created. It ruined peace. It brought the curse of sin and death and all of these other consequences that we read about there in Romans chapter 1, like verses 21 through 32. But more than that, ingratitude toward others ruins relationships as well. Gratitude for others, for what others do on our behalf, that builds relationships. Ingratitude for what others do on our behalf or for us makes those relationships harder to grow. And so what is the first danger? That's what we're going to look at tonight, dangers of ingratitude. What is the first danger? It is this here, destructiveness. As you think about your knowledge of the Bible, can you think of any reference to thankfulness that has a negative result in the Bible? I can't think of any. I mean, we looked at many verses last week, and the results of thankfulness, they are real, and they are positive, and they are sure. It is a sure thing. It's like that law of gravity. If we choose to be thankful, God says what the results will be, the fruits that we considered last week. Let's consider salvation. If a person chooses to accept Christ, will they go to heaven? Yes. What if they don't choose to accept? Now, they don't choose to worship Satan. They just choose to not worship God. They just don't make any decision. What then? They still go to hell, right? Not choosing Christ is choosing Satan. There is no undecided category there. And so it is with gratitude, okay? Our default that we have, our default is complaining. All right. Those of you that are parents, did you have to teach your children the art of complaining? No. Where do they get that? They're born with it. It's part of their flesh, their DNA. That's our default. So we have to choose gratitude. If we choose gratitude, then as we saw last week, the results come. Likewise, if we don't choose gratitude, then we're choosing ingratitude and the negative results come. But you say, I didn't choose to be ungrateful. I just chose to not be grateful. Well, remember, salvation. I didn't choose to worship Satan. I just chose not to worship God. You get the same result as those who choose to worship Satan. And that's the same with gratitude. So there is no independent, undecided category when it comes to gratitude. Either we choose gratitude or we get the negative results. This one here, destruction. Listen to this statement here. Thanklessness lurks behind homosexuality, envy, murder, and more. Now, what do you think about that statement? Thanklessness lurks behind homosexuality, envy, murder, and more. Let me read a verse to you, Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Because that when they knew not God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, I'm going to come back to that statement that I made before I read the verse. I'll come back to that here in a little while. But let's consider the structure of these two verses that I just read. Futile thinking. If we could have verse 21 back up there. Futile thinking, foolish hearts, moves on to many other sins. Really? I mean, if I'm foolish thinking and have a futile thinking, a foolish heart, as verse 21 says, does it really move on to many other sins? By the way, all of that started with unthankfulness. Well, let's look at verse 29. It says, being filled with all unrighteousness. That's the result. Now, remember, this started at the beginning of chapter 1. God revealed himself to all men. Some were not thankful. They became futile in their thinking. They became foolish in their hearts. And the result, verses 29 through 31, it's unavoidable. Unthankfulness is destructive. Here's another place that makes that connection. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4. It says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather, or instead, give thanks. When we don't give thanks, Paul's pointing out there in Ephesians 2, that almost the antidote to what he calls filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, is giving thanks. When we insert thanksgiving, foolish talk is on the run. Gratitude, folks, it has the power to have the same effect on all unrighteousness, such as the ones listed in Romans chapter 1, which again, I'll be coming back to that. And also, not just those things that are in that list there, but let me throw in a couple of others that I had read this week too. Thankfulness, gratitude. It puts those unrighteous things on the run. Like all of those things listed in Romans chapter 1. But also, how about this? Unhealthy people pleasing. An addiction to praise. At the root, there's a lack of gratitude somewhere. We're not thankful for what God has given to us because we want more. Here's another danger to consider. Wrong expectations. as a result of ingratitude. Why do we find it difficult to be grateful when things don't turn out the way we want them to? Well, one reason is that we have tricked ourselves into a set of expectations. And those expectations don't match God's. My wife and I were talking at dinner tonight. In a couple weeks, we get to take our two oldest grandsons to family camp with us. Just them and Nana and Papa. There will be nap time. Just saying that right now. For me. And Jet is all excited because we told him that when we get there, there's a vending machine. And he has this fascination with vending machines. He thinks those are the most awesome things in the world. You just put some money in and boom, it sends soda out at you. That is so crazy. That's what he said the first time he said it. He said, "What in the world? That is so crazy." And so we told him there's a vending machine. And tonight we were talking, maybe we shouldn't get his hopes up because it'll be our luck. The vending machine will be broke when we get up there, you know, and we're creating an expectation in his mind. OK, now I know that's on a little kid's level, but don't we do the same thing? We trick ourselves into the set of expectations, big ones and small ones. When I go, I told on myself, I think last week, about my deal at Aldi's when that selfish woman made me hold all my water. Yeah, you remember, right? I go to the store. I have the expectation of this. Get in, get out, go home. Boom. Like that. I was talking tonight and thinking, you know what? I got all, I didn't get real bent out of shape, but I was irritated that she didn't let me go in front of her. But you know what? Aldi's, they have multiple selections of every kind of food. You don't just get one. And in some places that I've been on mission trips, you don't always get what you're looking for when you go. What a blessing we have here, right? And so I have the wrong expectations. They're different from what God has planned for me. When you buy a car, okay, how many years do you expect to get out of that car? Let's say it's a brand new car. How many years would you expect to get out of it? Somebody? 10, 20, okay. Depends on how many miles a year you drive, right? Let's ask a different question. How many miles do you expect to get out of a car before it goes to the graveyard? 200. I heard it. 200. Do I hear 250? My daughter's van is about 1,000 miles away from 300,000 miles. I cannot believe that it's still holding together, actually. But, I mean, we have these expectations. What about you have the expectation you're going to get 500,000 miles out of your vehicle? That would be unreasonable, right? But certainly 100, 200, that would be reasonable, okay? Unless God has a different plan. And when the car doesn't reach 100,000 miles and we have to replace a transmission, because we had an expectation, didn't we? Okay. Generally, now, here's what's true about your expectations and mine. Generally, we think our expectations are reasonable. I mean, mine are, obviously. Yours might be off-kilter, but mine are definitely reasonable. That's why we have the expectations, because we think they're reasonable. Then when something doesn't go according to what we think God should have done, we get what? bent out of shape, angry. Some people get discouraged, blue, depressed, vengeful, bitter, depending on what the circumstances are. Author Sam Crabtree, he adds this. This was very convicting when I read this. He said, actually, we don't get bent out of shape. Rather, we reveal the shape we're already in. Namely, God dismissing. I thought, wow, that is so true. So our task is to yield our expectations to God and His actual agenda that He has for us. James 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today, tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So what is your life? The Bible says it's a vapor. You need to get saved today. That's how we've heard that verse, right? You need to get saved today because you could be gone tomorrow. And that's true. You do. But that's not the context of the passage. Literally, it is talking about verbal boastings about what we're going to do. And it's not just saying, well, I'm going to build my business and I'm going to go and make money tomorrow. And it's verbal boastings, literally. OK. Kind of like telling your grandson, vending machine. I hope that doesn't backfire on us. But not just verbal boastings. How about nonverbal boastings, otherwise known as expectations that we have in our minds? And these three verses, James 1, 13 through 15, these three verses are not about how we need to throw those religious words on the end. If God wills, Lord willing, God willing. It's not about that. It's about yielding our expectations to God's plans for us. We believe in the sovereignty of God, right? God is in control. He has a plan. Well, then the next statement is equally true as well. Here it is. None of us live the life we would plan. We live the life God planned for us. Someone saw this sign one time, and it comes from Psalm chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. It's just four words from those four verses, or three verses. Here's the sign they saw. We plan, God laughs. Look up Psalm 2. Read verses 2 through 4 sometimes. That's what it's talking about there. We plan, God laughs. Because of our wrong expectations, we many times miss what God is doing. Because we're too busy looking for something else. David said this, Psalm 55 and verse 2. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make noise. The heart with wrong expectations says, God isn't treating me right. I should have had this that I thought I should have had. That heart says, it's wiser than God. Its plan is better than God's plan. And it's crucial that we recognize blessings in whatever form they come in. I'm sure we've all seen the movie It's a Wonderful Life. With is that Jimmy Stewart? Yeah, okay. All right. Raise your hand if you've seen it more than once. Oh my. Okay. In the beginning of the movie, do you remember? He's just He despised everything. He had his plan, his agenda, his expectations of the way life was going to be for him. And he despised his town, his job, his house, his leaking house. He is about to commit suicide. And then, of course, there's Clarence the angel, okay? But then he prays, and I fact-checked this. He actually said these words. He said, "Please, God." The result was he had an awareness that he deserved none of the blessings that he had experienced. He stops thinking that he deserves more, and all of a sudden, joy rushes in. Here's another quote from author Sam Crabtree. He says, "The doorway to joy is opened by putting to death a spirit of entitlement, which is our next danger." Here it is, number 3, a wrong sense of rights. We'll call it entitlements. We'll probably go back and forth between those two terms. Ingratitude, there's another term for it. It's also at the root of our assumptions about our rights, okay? Well, we have those in America, don't we? Because we're Americans, and we have our rights. Okay. Our own sense of entitlement. Here's what happens when we think in terms of rights. A spirit of entitlement begins to grow inside of us. And it sinks deep into our heart. It sinks deep into our mind. But under God, we have no rights. Only privileges. Everything that we have is a privilege. He owes us nothing. One employer had this experience. It's Christmas Eve day. And I don't know if y'all get to go home early on Christmas Eve day or not. But this place of employment, that was not the normal practice. You worked until quitting time, Christmas Eve day, and then you got to go home. But this employer decided that all the employees could go home at noon on Christmas Eve day and still receive a full day's pay for it. So he made the announcement that morning, and at noon he's standing at the door as everyone's leaving, wishing them a Merry Christmas and all of that. The last person to leave, and only the last person, said, "Thank you." No one else did. And as that employee said, "Thank you," this employer thought to himself, if that's all the appreciation people feel, then maybe that's the last time I'll do this. Now, why didn't the other one say thank you? Sense of entitlement, perhaps? I don't know. I'm going to guess many workplaces let their employees go home at noon or early on Christmas Eve day. And if yours doesn't, I mean, why not? Everyone else gets to do it. A sense of entitlement, right? Akin to this word entitlement is the word deserve. Do you deserve stuff? Well, I do. I'm the man of my house. So I deserve respect, right? No one's agreeing with that? Come on, guys, at least give me a weak amen, a timid, scared one. We don't, though, do we? We only deserve what we've earned. Okay? And Romans 6:23 tells us what we've earned. Death. That is what we've deserved. Everything, and by the way, it doesn't matter how long you've been saved, today, right now, all you deserve is death. Everything else is grace. It's all because of grace. And it's not because you've been a good Christian or you've done this many things over the years of your lives. It is only because of grace. The fact that you may have taught Sunday school, preached or pastored a church of 5,000, led 50 million people to the Lord, and passed out 100 billion tracts in your lifetime. Here's what God says about all of that stuff. All of those good things. Filthy rags. Isaiah. It's all filthy rags. Everything that we have is because of grace. And for that, gratefulness is a fitting response. Thinking we deserve more moves us more and more toward ungratefulness. Leviticus chapter 17, I won't turn there. It's the passage of the 10 lepers. They all got healed, and only one said thank you. Here's another danger. Number 4, a sin of omission. Okay, what does a person have to do to be ungrateful? Any ideas? Nothing. Just do nothing, and you are being ungrateful. Thanklessness, it just creeps in on us. Why don't we thank? Why aren't we grateful? Perhaps we don't think it was good enough to be grateful. We don't believe it came from the hand of God. We don't count our blessings, or we just take them for granted. Remember, David did that as we've gone through a number of the Psalms. And then it says, but then I remembered. The psalm would start off, oh, I've got all these problems. I was anointed king of Israel, and here I am in a cave, running for my life, falsely accused. But then I remembered God and His faithfulness and His promises to me. What happens when we do nothing, we're not grateful, we're not focused on what God has done for us, we're not counting our blessings, what happens? Your heart darkens. Now, I'm going to take you to a scripture that says that, okay? And it's not going to be comfortable because of where that scripture reference is at. Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Do you know what comes after that passage? Several verses about that uncomfortable immorality issue. Okay? Here's our problem, as expressed by the novelist Yoder Dostoevsky. I don't even know if I pronounce that right. Here's what he said. Man likes to count his troubles, but he does not count his joys. Think about that. If you were to ask someone, or someone asked you, okay, yesterday, what problems did you encounter yesterday? Those tend to stick in our minds, don't they? All right, good. Now tell me, what blessings did you have yesterday? We might have to think about that. It just reveals our tendency, that's all. A mindset of entitlement. It can be conscious, like we see in our society now, certain elements of our culture. You know, they're standing on a sidewalk holding a sign demanding their rights for this or for that or whatever it is. But a mindset of entitlement can also be passive. In fact, most of the time, I think it is passive, but still is ungratefulness. Like this passive thought, just deserve some peace and quiet for a change. I deserve for my schedule to slow down a bit. I deserve to have the line at the checkout counter move more quickly. I deserve to put my jug of water down in front of that lady. Or how about this one? I deserve to have the passing lane open when I'm driving in it, and that fool that's driving 50 miles an hour needs to get out of the way because I deserve to be. I pay taxes. I help pay for this passing lane. Get out of the way. I deserve it. A lot of times our entitlement is passive, just like I was saying here. Nancy DeMoss, several of you ladies will be familiar with that author. She wrote this: if we take it all for granted, if we think life just shows up with this stuff already in place, if we trick ourselves into believing that everyday household items come from the grocery store rather than from a gracious God, we walk right past countless reasons for worship and giving thanks every day without even knowing it. Because we have these expectations and entitlements. Deuteronomy chapter 32, it says, do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? We need to be so careful about the sense of entitlement. And then the passage there that I just read, Deuteronomy 32:6, it goes on to instruct them to remember what God has done. Let me give you a warning here to just close out at. Give us a warning here. I want to go back now, as I said I would, back to Romans chapter 1. It all started there in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. By the way, God, who is God? The Creator, right? The King of Kings. The Sovereign King of Kings. Who has a plan already laid out for our lives. They glorified him not as that God. Neither were thankful, but become vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And then after that, there's this discourse of how God said, okay, follow your course. I'm not going to restrain you. I'm not going to hold back your fleshly desires. And then we see several verses dealing with homosexuality. It started with unthankfulness. Now, am I saying if we're not thankful, you better watch out because this is what's going to happen to all of us? No, because after those several verses, there's more results of unthankfulness that God gives us. I'm just going to read them. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness is a result of unthankfulness. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, I want to reread that passage again with words that we more commonly use today. OK, they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, just arguing, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish. Here's one, faithless. That means a lack of faith. Heartless, ruthless, though they know God's righteous decree. that those who practice such things deserve to die. We know that, don't we? They not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Now, if we could have that last verse, verse 32, up on the screen for us, okay? Who, knowing, they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die. You see that there in the King James. They not only do those things, but give approval to those who practice them. Now, look at that last verse. Here's what's going on right at the end. They're justifying those things being done. All of those things we just listed, they justify them. Now, I'm not going back to the three verses at the beginning with the moral sin, but how about these? Gossip, slanderers, insolent, haughty, boastful, argumentative, faithless, foolish, disobedient to parents. Oh, my child's just going through a phase right now. Well, I was just venting. It was just a prayer request or whatever the case is. They gave approval to those that practiced them. They justified them. The big one today that was given three verses there by Paul, homosexuality. Some say it's caused by nature. We were born that way. Some people say it was caused by nurturing. That's the way we were raised. My daddy let me play with dolls when I was a boy, so that's why I am the way I am today. They're saying a person was raised that way. Both of those ideas ignore what God has says here in the Bible. Unthankfulness. But keep in mind, gossip is on the list. So is envy and coveting and arguing. The consequences of not being thankful are varied. They could be any a number of one of these things here. But they all start with unthankfulness. And God, at some point, just giving us up to a corrupt mind. Folks, life is complex. We all know that. And there are a lot of forces at work against us. But thankfulness by itself is powerful enough to pivot any person away from futile thinking and a foolish heart. And when we don't have it, we automatically pivot back towards that. We're going to have to stop there for tonight. I think I've left us 10 minutes to pray. You could pray longer, but if you got kids, they're going to be rolling out of their rooms here in about 10 minutes. So let's cut it there and spend some time in prayer.